today on the Clock Tips Podcast.
And here's why I think it's always going to stay divided, this idea of remote work versus in-person work, is because depending on how busy your life home or your life at home is like, that will determine if working in the office is better than working at home.
Welcome to the Clock Tips Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Melissa Richardson. Thanks for joining us. A lot of people went to work from home or work remote during the pandemic, and I myself was included in that number. I used to teach at school, I still do, but during the pandemic, I learned how to teach on a computer and just lead my classes completely remotely. And now a lot of people have gone back into the office, and there's been a debate about what is better or where are people more productive? Is it in the office or at home? And I've personally looked up some of the research on this, and it seems quite divided as to whether people are more productive from home or at the office. So today I'm here with my guest, Andrew, who is an IT business analyst who has experience both working from home as well as in the office or in the field. And I just want to welcome you, Andrew, to the Clock Tips Podcast.
Awesome. Thank you for having me, Melissa.
Yeah. So tell me about working from home. You currently work from home now. So just in general, compared to when you didn't, what is the biggest thing that you've noticed with your habits or your approach to working?
Well, prior to working to where I'm at now, I actually did a lot of shift work, you know, working as a full-time registered nurse. And we all know how that can be, especially with the different schedules, and so we had no choice but to be in person. I guess the biggest thing I noticed was the comfort of being able to wake up and go directly into work, removing the necessary aspects of being in traffic or worrying about what to wear. You know, I suppose I'm obviously wearing clothes, but you know, choosing specifically, hey, is this professional? Is this not? I just could worry about how my top looks like or anything within camera view. Yeah. Which has helped me to just kind of like reduce a lot of the stress. I realized a lot of stress came from getting ready for work and going to work. So the differences have been night and day, to be honest.
Okay. So you're talking more about just like the preparation aspect of getting to work. That's like one of the biggest impacts for you, you would say?
Yes. I think, you know, I always said to anyone, like, you know, I'm like, you know, half the battle is just arriving to work. It's not really necessarily like the work being the hardest thing. It's arriving there. And because a lot of energy is expended. And if we break it down, if I'm waking up, to brushing our teeth, which we do anyway, but it's in the rush that cortisol moment where things are just getting pumped in your body and you're rushing to eat breakfast or you're grabbing something to go and, you know, you're getting to your car and as you walk the dog, there's a lot more things that's kind of compacted in a small span of time, which I think makes things a lot more stressful. And even though there are activities we would do anyways throughout the day, but having them compacted into that small window of time just for you to arrive to a building to continue doing work that you can do at home, I think is where a majority of the stress has come from. And so I think, you know, working remotely has really shed light on that. And so it allowed us to really see the beauty of being a remote worker and how your life actually can be relieved of some of those stresses just by working at home.
So Andrew, I actually feel differently than you because when I'm working, you know, at school, I pretty much have a routine. I know how long it will take me. I have a lot of buffer time. I wake up and I take my time to go. So I don't feel too rushed, but I do remember when I was teaching online that, yes, I didn't have to get dressed up and do all of those things to get out the door per se. But I do remember not calculating my time very well and running to my computer very often. So that doesn't happen to you?
No, actually, it's that has happened to me, but I'm really started harnessing a lot of the powers of the technologies that we have now I mean, they're not new groundbreaking, right? I mean, setting the alarm on our phone, or I really heavily use Google Calendar. And I know sometimes people don't like a lot of notifications, but when it comes to calendar things and things that I'm going to be relying on, I want as many notifications as I can possible. And so I use that as a way to keep me in check. And so that's what keeps me grounded when I'm in a remote setting. I think I agree with what you're saying, like having a routine set when you go into the office. That does exist. But I do find that there's a lot more other distractions that go on when I'm in the office. And here's why I think it's always going to stay divided, this idea of remote work versus in-person work, is because depending on how busy your life home or your life at home is like, that will determine if working in the office is better than working at home. Because a lot of people have busy home lives, mm-hmm. where they have pets and they have children, they have this and that going on. Where at work, it's just work, right? Now, if your work ends up being more stressful, which a lot more people do probably, you know, probably experience, depending on your industry and what you're in, mm-hmm. they would probably prefer to be at home, a known environment where they could just show up and do what is asked of them, and go back to the leisurely things that they do at home in between. And mm-hmm. that, in a way, gives a sense of autonomy, of time. Because I think going to a place that you really don't probably want to be, unless you want to be there, then being at work would be the choice. But if for those who prefer to be at home, it kind of gives you a sense of autonomy of your time. And like, okay, well, since this meeting ended, I have 20-minute gap, I can go ahead and do this real quick in the house, maybe clean this up really quickly. Right. And this gives you a sense of ownership. So that's what I think about it. But I do agree with what you're saying. There is a sense of routine, but I think mm-hmm. I get interrupted a lot more at work, which allows me to be less productive in terms of getting as much work done.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point about, you know, it just depends on who you are and what your environment is like at home or at work. The distractions, which is something I was wondering about, that's not universal for every job, what that looks like. So some jobs, and I'll say even mine, I can have like office hours planned, and maybe I think I'll do a certain task during that time, and then maybe other things pop up, visits, go to the printer, you know, different things like that. And I can't really predict those things. So that wouldn't happen at home necessarily if I was working at home. So I guess my question is, if you were to, you know, make a suggestion to the employers out there, being that it really depends on the person and their environment, and you're saying that could affect the productivity of that worker, like how could employers potentially support their workforce in finding what's the best situation for them to be productive in a company?
That's a good question. I would say that's what we call a loaded question, because there's a lot of facets to it, right?
Yeah.
And I think companies that are like more tech advanced, the ones that we hear about, like the Googles, the Facebooks of the world, where a lot of companies like to model some of the benefits from there, like Google introducing nap pods. These are just all ways for them to kind of like allow their employees to feel, again, ownership of their time, but while they're committing their time over to the company, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a few things, right? So if you allow them to choose their schedule, right? If you make a mandatory, like, hey, we just want you in the office twice a week or once a week, right? Being okay with having an employee say, I want to be at home 3 days out of the week and be in the office 2 days a week, and here are the days that I'm willing to commit to. Because what I found, again, that's a little small piece of ownership that's, again, given the decision to the employee, right? They're still coming in, but they still have the option to be at home. And on top of that, they get to choose which days they want to be at home. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I think this should be, and this is going to require some office culture, readjustments. And I know how culture can be. What, you know, cultures are usually pretty hard to change, because depending on the size of your company, it's going to involve human beings and human beings and habits, and all of these come into play. Mm-hmm. So what I think would be helpful is building a culture in the office where you can have a sign, just like we have at stores, right? Mm-hmm. Open, close. A lot of people have open door policy. If the door is open, feel free to walk in. Mm-hmm. And also, if the door is shut, let there be a message to kind of describe what's going on in that person's office, right? Say, hey, deep work, right? You can put a sign instead of open or close. You can say deep work, meaning do not interrupt or do not disturb, just like you do on your phone.
Right.
And I think that the employees would get it, right? Because that just is a clear sign that they're either in a meeting or they're working on a project that's time sensitive, and to give them a space. A lot of times I hear employees talk about, you know, them wanting to just stay at home because they don't get interrupted as much, because interruption is a big, you know, a big factor when it comes to trying to get in that focus mode, what we call the zone, right? That, mm-hmm. that focus zone. And in the state of flow is what the real terminology is. So getting in that state of flow takes about, I think, 20 minutes. But once you're disturbed, you get out of the state of flow, and it takes you about another 20 minutes to get back into the state of flow. And that's just, you know, what I've read from books and from folks who have specialized in flow state study and flow state learning. So this is why this is what I would suggest to the companies to do. So if they're going to be in the office, have them pick their days that they want to be in and out. Let them know how many days that they have to be in. Let them choose the days. And then also, if they're going to be in the office, allow them to be in control of their productivity by using signage to like let them know they're in deep work, or, hey, my door's open. And that's going to come with a culture shift inside the office. So that's what I would suggest.
Okay. So you sound like you're speaking about a responsible employee, and I've had conversations with people who are working and also people who are in the managerial positions. And I know that not everybody is responsible. I also don't believe in micromanagement, but is there like a way that we could, I guess, suggest for the people who might want to, I guess, slack off with the extra potential seemingly free time that exists with that flexibility? How could people like keep track of that?
You know, that's another good question too. I think it comes, and I think we're in a major shift right now in our industry and when in regards to work, right? The classic way of working, right? Choosing a company to work with forever, hopefully to retire from, get a pension, that whole thing. I think we're actually going into a gig-like economy where we're going to be working on a contractual basis, and people will be hired based on the skills that they have to get a project or a task done. And they'll be free to get paid for that task very well for their work, right? Based on the level of experience that they have. And they can take time off for however long they want and then come back and just sign up for some more gigs that they have the skills to accomplish, right? And it sounds like we have a little bit of that going on right now, but I think it'll be more so that style of working rather than the long-term pension play. For keeping track, I think it just comes down to keeping an employee motivated, right? And many times it's not just money that motivates employees, right? Getting more of something that we just need to live and survive is not it. I forgot what book it was. I think it was called Good to Great, where it was focusing, and don't quote me on that, I'll probably get the book to you so we can get the exact title and the author. It was talking about how motivation comes in different facets, and one of the main ones, which is why I harp on autonomy, is that ownership aspect,
right?
Is making them feel like they are part of they're part of a bigger pie, right? So they're not just here you are, you're just a cog in the wheel, but no, you're a slice in the pie. If you go missing, we have an incomplete product. And so, interesting enough, they had interviewed a few folks from Google who were there making about $300,000 a year. And a few of them just decided to leave, because once they interviewed them, they realized that, hey, a lot of the projects we work on were cool and they were great, but they were scrapped many a times because, you know, Google will work on projects that never get published. And so they put all this hard work, even though they're getting paid for it, you would think the money they're getting paid would keep them motivated to keep showing up.
Yeah.
But really, they said, we wanted to feel like we were making an impact. So it was making an impact and having that autonomy. And there's a third piece to it, which I can't remember right now, it escapes me, but those two were two of the biggest pieces to try to keep humans motivated when it comes down to doing a task. Are they buying into the idea and whatever they're a part of, right? Do they want to see it do well, right? And if that's the case, are you going to give them a piece of ownership to it where you can come to them to get a status update? Because number one, they're proud to be there. They want to create some kind of impact, which they're doing, and they're also feeling like they're responsible for this thing being successful. It's kind of like raising a successful kid or being able to successfully train your dog to do a trick. There's a sense of satisfaction that comes with that, right? There's the struggle piece and then the success piece. You get to see that victorious, you know, trick that your dog, that you were training your dog to do for the last, I don't know, 2 weeks, and they finally are able to do it. That satisfaction is what keeps people coming back for more.
Okay, yeah, that's great. So I'm hearing at least three things, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm hearing scheduling is really important for working period, no matter at home or not. Controlling your distractions.
Yep.
And then figuring out your motivation and ownership of what you're doing.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else that you feel like is important for someone? Let's say someone is considering working from home, or they're new to working from home. Like, what is some advice you'd give to that type of a person?
Oh, plenty. And before we hop into that one, I want to say one more thing. There was a, and my wife was a part of a company where they did something called Catalyze Points, where it was a point system that you can convert to cash or redeem for products or things like that. So we noticed that it wasn't just like money derivative. It was like, hey, we can get points or credit towards a cruise. If you like cruising, now you get to do something, work towards something you like. If you like eating at restaurants, you can get points that could be a redemption for doing something you enjoy, not just direct gift card or something like that. And you had an option to do that, but and the way you get these catalyzed points were based on people's review of you and their interaction with you during a project. So just like you, if you were to call customer service, customer service call, and they would say, hey, well, do you mind doing this quick review about my service today? And they get a 5-star rating, but it's just more so kudos points for them. But here it actually accrues the points that can be then redeemed for actual dollar value items. So
yeah, that's pretty neat.
It's pretty neat because now it's kind of incentivized you to put your best foot forward when it comes to customer service, making sure you're respectful at all times, which we all should be. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of doing a self-check. And again, it passes the ball or the buck to the employee to say, hey, if you want to be able to redeem to do more of what you love and you want to be respected for it or rewarded for it, here's your opportunity. You know, every interaction you have will have an opportunity to be graded or to be reviewed by the person you're interacting with, not just your boss, but you're interacting with, and let them be the judge as to how they felt during that interaction. And so that was a very interesting take, and I think it panned out fairly well as far as like maintaining a positive and respectful culture and making people feel like they were getting rewarded for the work they were doing in between projects, right?
Yeah, that's
the communication
really
aspect. So
and accountable.
Yeah, and so going back to your question, here's a few tips that I believe will be amazing, right? I always say your environment is a physical manifestation of what's going on in your mind. So if your room is messy, or if your desk is messy, or your, and here's what people don't really think about very often, if your desktop is messy, a lot of icons everywhere, just no rhyme or reason, they're touching each other, overlapping. You have music mixed with, you know, important documents, and you're just all over the place. There's just no rhyme or reason. It's a very strong reflection on how your life at home will just be. And here's what I mean by that. So when I first started working at home, it was the same. I didn't really do many changes. I just opened up a laptop, connected it to a monitor to have another monitor screen for more real estate. And then I realized that I was always moving something around just to move my mouse around to create some space, or stacking books on the left side just so I can create space for my arm. And it was just so much more frustrating, and it took time away and focus away from work, you know, which lowered my productivity a bit because I was always worried about my environment, right? And so what I did was one weekend, I just said, okay, if I'm going to spend, you know, hours here on end, like 8-hour day, I want to make sure that this place is comfortable and I want to be here. What would it look like? So I went online, I took a look at Instagram and some Pinterest, mostly Pinterest. You type in, you know, cool study room designs, or cool workroom designs, or cool home office designs. And I got to see what I would envision my office space to look like. Now I want to be there. Now I want to work there. So I just, you know, it only takes buying a few things from Amazon for really great prices. organizer for documents, a place specific, a mouse pad that's large enough for you to move your mouse however you want, wherever you want, wireless things, collecting cords and rearranging my cords from my monitors, making sure they're organized in one place, and having a weekly schedule to wipe down my desk and my keyboard, because I would always have that feeling of everything feels brand new again. So it keeps me wanting to be there. If you're an aromatherapy person, have something that smells good, whether it be a candle or some type of diffuser, to kind of create that environment that wants you to be productive. And that just helped me to kind of really, kind of hone in and want to be there and continue to be productive.
Wow, I feel prepared and ready to work at home.
As you should, as you should.
And inspired. Well, I think you gave some amazing tips and advice today. So I just thank you again for taking the time to come and share your ideas and experience with us on this podcast.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us today. Please visit our website at clocktips.com for more information about this podcast, how to join our ongoing research study, and more resources to help you improve your time intuition, sleep, and productivity. If you found this information helpful or interesting, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with others and join the discussion on our social media platforms under the handle @MyClockTips. Until next time, take care of yourself.